listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning, and it is time for Historically Speaking. Our good friend, Dr. Daniel Harmelink from Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Welcome back.
It's great to be back in the Holy City.
Did you have some nice time away?
It was fantastic. I want to thank all those who came and visited Concordia Historical Institute exhibit in Milwaukee. What a week.
Yeah, you were on the road quite a bit with the...
A lot of people were on the road. That convention, now I know why we only have it every 3 years. It takes 2 years to recover from that.
Well, imagine what a convention was like before, you know, modern transit.
Well, that, and it was in the early days of the Missouri Synod, it was every year.
Right, that's what Mark and I talked about that. Mark Blasey, he talked about conventions and presidents and a little history on synodical conventions. And yeah, I remember learning that they were every year, but transportation gets to be kind of a challenge when you're doing that every year. Kind of costly.
Transportation is a major commitment. And so I have this theory, and that is you should not preach shorter than the time it takes for people to drive or walk to church. What do you think?
You're talking about the local church, not a convention.
Local church. But I mean, you know, if it takes you 3 days to get to a convention, you don't want it to just to be 1 day. So,
that's a 3 day sermon.
In the beginning of the Missouri Synod, I mean, these conventions will go on for a week or more, you know, 10 days. And some of that is because it took so much of an effort, so much of a commitment to get there. You want to do some major stuff.
Sure.
So I told someone during the convention, there will be no synodical or religious body conventions in heaven. And they looked at me with kind of sad eyes. So for those people out there that was, you know, the high point of their of the next 3 years is this convention in Milwaukee, there will be a special place in heaven for you.
I thought heaven was just one big synodical convention where we all walk together.
Andy, I need to talk to you after this. We do have, we exhibited the synodical gavel and the Reformation coins and medals as part of our exhibit there in Milwaukee. And if you were not able to visit, we'd like to share some of that with you. So we have a postcard that shows the detail of this Walther Luther gavel that was carved in 1911. I think I brought it in one Thursday. I didn't let you touch it.
I did not touch it. I looked at it.
It's under glass. But if you've not seen it, give us a call, Concordia Historical Institute, and we'll give you this postcard. It has a detailed photograph on one side and then an explanation of the gavel that has been used at every regular LCMS convention since 1911. And you'll see in the Lutheran Witness this month a picture of me presenting the gavel to President Harrison. And we're both kind of chuckling, and people say, well, what did you say? And I told President Harrison, be gentle with her, the gavel. So that's the story behind the picture that you'll see in Lutheran Witness. But a great witness to God's faithfulness through the history of the LCMS. So again, for those who attended, for those who stopped by and shared their stories of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and how God has been gracious through those years, thank you for stopping by. KFUO had a lot of visitors at the KFUO.
We sure did.
Booth also,
and we had a chance to give away the nifty KFUO bags,
right?
The reusable shopping bags.
Well, you need a bag because you have to go to all the other, you know, 150 different exhibits and pick out the best candy at each of the exhibit tables. Come in handy.
Trick or treating at the
convention. I didn't get away. I kept thinking, well, in a half an hour, I'd take a break, and that break never came. Another thing that we were handing out is this information sheet on how should our congregation celebrate its anniversary. And we handed out, you know, several of these, too. So, again, if God has tapped you to be part of the anniversary committee in your local parish, feel free to give us a call and get that resource. You can have a beard growing contest and other fun things for your anniversary. Hey, I wanted to also let people know that every month a new face of the Reformation is coming out on the LutheranReformation.org website. So if you know how the internet works, if you do that, check it out. Lutheran Reformation is all one word, LutheranReformation.org, and click under Faces of the Reformation, and you'll see that every month we post a new person, a new personality that's connected with the Reformation, and you can learn about how God used these people to bring about the Reformation. You don't have to wait until October 31st, 2017. You can do that now. So we're about halfway through presenting these people, and in August, the person that we're putting a spotlight on is this guy named John Tetzel. Now, if you're friendly with him, I guess he's Johnny Tetzel.
Johnny Tetzel, yeah. Yeah.
But if you've never heard that name before, Johann Tetzel, you need to check it out. So, no, he was not a follower of Luther. Luther basically said, I'll put a hole in his drum, you know, but he is part of the story. And so we have a Bible study, we have a one-page summary of his life, and we also have a half-page insert that pastors or Sunday school teachers can use in bulletins or as a flyer. So this month, John Tetzel. Next month, let's see. September 2016 is a guy named John Gutenberg, Johannes Gutenberg.
Lots of Johans.
There's a lot of Johans.
Now, the thing about Tetzel that stands out for me is from the 2003 film, and I don't know if this was based on history, actual historical information or not, but do you remember how he was depicted, one of the scenes he was depicted in the film during one of the mysteries plays, or they were... You know, he was out in a square or something like that, and they were doing mystery plays, and he was preaching about the dangers of, you know, being sentenced to hell.
Yes, it's scare him to death and then sell him forgiveness.
Do you remember how he demonstrated the pains of hell in the film his character?
I think he injured himself.
He stuck his hand in a fire and, like, melted his own skin. I don't know if that's historically accurate.
Yeah,
or not.
I'll check on that, Andy. See if that's.
But it, correct. Boy, it certainly gets your attention.
Whenever Hollywood's involved, you always want to take things with a grain of salt,
right?
But that reminds me too. You know, one of the things that the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod and CHI is involved in is Thrivent is funding a new Luther movie that's coming out in 2017. Will be on PBS stations for maybe one night or even two nights. So right now we're getting, you know, we're getting inundated with Olympics, and in October of next year, we're going to get a good dose of the history of the Reformation.
It's a documentary, correct?
It's a documentary, and again, it's going to be faithful to what actually happened. So it's not a romance novel based on, you know, Katie and Martin. It's the history of the Reformation, directed and written by people who take history seriously. So it'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it. I saw the trailer for it on LutheranReformation.org.
That's the website I was talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Also, we want to alert people. You know, this happened when we exhibited the Albrecht Dürer woodcut prints. We had a good amount of people come and view that exhibit, and then guess what? We closed it in
ended.
Preparation for a new one, and then like the week after, we had a whole bunch of people show up and say, "We're here to see the Dürer prints." It's like, oh, sorry, they're all wrapped up and put back in the vault for safekeeping to give them a rest.
You're worse than one of those major motion picture companies. They put them back in the vault for years.
Yeah, well, I tell people, you know, we get this all the time. People want to donate an artifact or a touchstone of history, and they say, now we'll give you this, but you have to promise that it's always on display at CHI. And I was talking to another museum curator about this a couple weeks ago, and they said,
You'd have to
it's not fair. It's not fair to the public, the church that we serve, and it's not fair to the artifact or that touchstone of history, because being out on display all the time will severely accelerate,
right?
The deterioration of that object.
Sure. And plus, you don't have the square footage to put everything on display.
Someone said, how come all 850 of the Reformation coins and medals are on, why aren't they on display? And that's like, well, we don't have the room. B, we don't have the security. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. But people don't think that. So I'm glad you're on my side people I can't make that promise. A painting needs to rest. The Durer prints need to rest out of the sunlight.
Well, there are specific exhibit setups that could work with low lighting and things like that, and proper humidification.
Hey, there you go. We could have the door still up, and then you just walk in, and you've got night vision goggles that you have to wear.
Well, I remember when I saw the Dead Sea Scrolls on exhibit in Chicago, and it was very unique.
No flash on that,
right,
Andy.
No flash, and the lighting was very, very dim. It was LED lighting. It was very, very dim, and they had specific humidity control devices mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the exhibits. But in order for you to display everything that you have at CHI, you'd have to have a hall like a museum about the size of a college campus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well,
so we have to be good stewards.
Start your GoFundMe page.
Yeah. CHI, we're about preserving, but we're also about proclaiming. So we have to do that. And again, so the Durer exhibit is online. You can see those online. And we're making plans to also have the Papua New Guinea exhibit, which is where I was going on that. Now that is closed. So the paintings are now being put back in a responsible way so to give them a rest. But we still have the catalog. If you've missed that, you can still get a catalog that shows many of the objects that were on display. We also want to continue to remember the families of Otto Hinze. And now Robert Kranke, who painted all of those 40 paintings, the Lord in his wisdom took Robert Kranke home July 5th of this year. So we're just so happy that God gave us the opportunity to have this exhibit on Papua New Guinea, the mission work, Lutheran mission work in Papua New Guinea, before these two servants of Christ and his word were taken. So we continue to honor them. Okay, today is the 460 years ago, it's the birthday of Philip Nicolai. Now, when you think of Lutheran hymn writers, I mean, the big ones automatically pop up, right?
Sure.
J.S. Bach, Martin Luther himself.
Yeah.
Maybe the third one would be Paul Gerhardt. But Philip Nicolai is no slouch when it comes to writing good, solid Christian hymnody. And one of the songs, there's probably two major, not home runs, but two enduring hymns that he wrote the text and the tune for. One is, "O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright." And do you have a snippet of that?
Sure, we can play a little bit of that. So a hymn composed by someone not named Johann today.
Exactly. Philip.
This was the one with the really beautiful long intro, but we don't have enough time to listen to the whole hymn.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and that's a good hymn to have stuck in your head for the rest of the day. But Philip Nicolai, again, it's kind of like Paul Gerhardt. His life was not easy. He was a very talented person, but because of his conviction that the Christian faith has to be faithful to the Word of God, he got a lot of abuse. So he became a kind of, polemical or an apologist. And again, that doesn't mean he was going around saying, "I'm sorry, oops, excuse me," but that he would defend the faith. And because of that, he found he had a few enemies. But he was also mission-minded. So again, this thing of, you know, to be a missionary, you have to be meek and mild-mannered and not stand up for the faith. It doesn't work that way. So the next time you sing, "O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright," or the other famous hymn, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying," give thanks to God for Philip Nicolai and his faithfulness to Christ and the Word of God. What a great Lutheran hymn writer.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan.
460 years ago today.
I wasn't there. But I'll celebrate today. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
Blessings.
Thank you.